from the piece. And as I was doing it, then I realized, and I look at the Marmakoma sheet, and I see how much it is. It's actually a pretty lengthy essay. So, full disclosure, you shouldn't think that I just whipped this kind of stuff off the back of my head. It probably took me about a month to research this topic, but that month was, a few years ago. I forget exactly what sim it is, but for those who have the Sefer, it's towards the end of the Sefer. And it's on a lengthy essay on the relationship between Geneva and Gzela. And in that context, we discuss at the end, it's actually the end of that article, is this topic. But I adapted the discussion there in a way which is different. I had not originally intended, actually, but I hope it'll come out nicely tonight. Of course, the centerpiece of this week's Parsha is the Aseres HaDibros. And the eighth of those Dibros is Lo Signov. Lo Signov is usually translated as kidnapping. And this is actually based on the Rashi that's quoted here on the Pasuk, which is in turn based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Antaf Pei Vav. I'll just quickly read the Rashi. We're talking about kidnapping, as opposed to the Pasuk in Vayikra of Lo Signovu, which talks about theft, which is Gonev Mamon. How do we know that? So the Gemara learns, Ulahalam begonav fashas. How do we know this? Amiras davar halamed binyano. One of the yigimol midos atarid resha behen is that, which is what you might call common sense or context, and that is that we evaluate things based on what is near them. So what else was earlier in the pasuk was the previous two dibros of lo sirtzach and lo sinof, adultery and murder. And the Gemara Darshan, just like both of those are capital offenses, the Geneva that's being referred to in this pasuk must also be a capital offense. And what, obviously, stealing somebody's watch is not a capital offense, but rather, as the Gemara Darshan's, and this actually is based on the Psukim in Devarim and Chavdalid Pasuk Zayin, it's a specific form, if you will, of kidnapping, and that is you kidnap the guy, you make him work for you a little bit, so to speak, and then you sell him off as a slave. You ransom him as a slave. You do all of those things, that is the capital crime of kidnapping. If you leave out any of those elements, it may be an Isser Daraisa, but it's not going to be the capital crime of the Aseres HaDibros of kidnapping. All of that, as I say, is to be contrasted with the Pasuk in Vayikra of Lo Signovu, which refers to Genevas Mamon. Here the Pasuk in the Aseres HaDibros is referring to kidnapping. The Gemara in Bab Metzia, on Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis, you can imagine, not only do you have a very close proximity of Lo Signov versus Lo Signovu, kidnapping and monetary theft, but there's a lot of other, there's Geneva, and there's Gezela, and there's Ona'a, and there's Oshek, and there's a lot of things which seem to be very, very similar. And actually, there's a very famous Gemara on Daf Samach Aleph in Bab Metzia, which tries to explain why the need for all of these different isurim, why they aren't redundant. And one of the important things that the Gemara says, the Gemara asks why the need for Lo Signovu, which is, again, that's the pasuk that has to do with monetary theft. What's the need for that? Why couldn't we have learned all of this from Lo Signov? So the Gemara answers, to teach us in here, as well, I was looking for the Lashon, but I'll paraphrase it, but listen carefully, because the line, there you go, Rafo, is critical. The Gemara says, to teach us that it includes Lo Signov Almanas Lemekat. And before I get to the Lo Signov, Almanas Lemekat is itself a debate. That's one of the things that I didn't include in the shir. Is the whole discussion of that. It was very painful to cut out, but Rabbi Lam always says, and as do any experienced figure, that the hardest thing to do is edit yourself, like doing surgery on yourself, he once said. So there's a beautiful discussion I had about Al-Ganeva and Al-Slamekat, but it's not included for tonight, there'll be another time. It's not so clear, it's a little bit of machlokas, but basically it encompasses things such as stealing, not because you want to keep the item, but you're just doing it to shepherd the guy. That kind of stuff. There's a machlokas of shonim, which is fascinating. Again, I attempted to just mention it, I can't control myself. Is that the kind of thing where, of course, you plan on giving it back? And again, that's why you're taking it just to make the guy nuts? Or you're not planning on giving it back, you're going to keep it. But even so, perhaps there's a difference in your motivation. Are you really doing it because you really want the watch, you really want the money? Or are you, it was your motivation not because of what you want, but just to bother him? Itself is a fascinating machlokes, but let's assume more simply it means you're not going to keep it. You just took it. He comes back to class after stepping out, going to the bathroom or something. He can't find it. He's, oh no. So that's an isser called Gonev Amanas Lameket. How do we know that's usser? Says the Gemara Mamatziah. That is what is being marbeh from the pasuk. So the Vilna Gon was actually the Gilyon Agro. It doesn't come up that often. But on the side of the Gemara here, there's what they call Hagos, Agro, or I call it the Gilyon Agro. So the Gemara here had said, again, this is why I stressed it, it's Larabos Hagonev Amanas Lameket. So the Vilna Gon says, Tzarech Lomar Lo Signovu. Doesn't make any sense. The Gemara uses the term signo, which is what we just said from the Teretz Dibros, which is kidnapping, Amanas Lamekat. Says the Gemara, no, that doesn't make any sense. We're taught the whole purpose of the pasuk is, why does it say Lo Signovu? To teach us that it's not just stealing money when you really want the money, like you're a highway bandit or a robber, but it's even if you're doing it just to chepper the guy, if you're just to bother him. So obviously that whole act falls under the category of Lo Signovu. And yet the Gemara referred to it as Lo Signov Amanas Lamekat. And again, presumably the Gra is correct. That would be a correct emendation of the Gemara. Yet, our text of the standard Vilna Shas is Lo Signov Amanas Lamekat, which is very interesting. Moreover, if you look at the Rambam and Hilchos Geneva, in the Perak Aleph, Halacha Aleph, he does something very interesting. Here he is, he's quoting the Halacha, the basic Halacha for, what is it? He's quoting the basic Halacha for Geneva, and here also the Rambam quotes Lo Signov. Again, very strange. So the Frankel edition. Here's the difference. If you open up that Rambam versus the one I'm holding, all standard previous editions had the Rambam quoting it as Lo Signov. So the Frankel, which is a more recent edition of the Rambam, changed it to Lo Signov. Where did the Frankel get off doing it? A combination of, would imagine, common sense, and following the inspiration of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon can change the text of the Gemara, they can change the text of the Rambam. It's the same idea. How could Lo Signov, again, everyone knows it's the Gemara and Sanhedrin that the Aseret HaDibros is kidnapping. It's not monetary theft, but it is strange. However, Rak Basi Lahoyer, that maybe the Frankel is wrong. Because the truth is that if you look at the Rambam and Hilchos Sanhedrin, the Rambam there is describing a category called Lav Hanitan L'Tashlumin. There are certain rules that apply based on what type of negative commandment, what type of Los Asay it is. And certain negative commandments, certain Los Asays, the Torah, the system itself builds in that you can make retribution for that. When the Torah builds in this, it's a law of Hanitan L'Tashlumin, it can pay back, that can have certain impacts. And the Rambam is giving examples of what is a law of Hanitan L'Tashlumin. Now, before we go anywhere, we know that if we start talking about a Geneva type thing, we're obviously not talking about kidnapping. Right? Law of Hanitan L'Tashlumin, right? You don't make the guy feel better. I kidnapped you, but here's the $25. That don't work. Obviously, law of Hanitan L'Tashlumin, we're talking about stealing somebody's money. And there the Rambam says, Kamo, the lav of Lo Signov. Not Lo Signovu. So, what's interesting is that that's even in the Frankel edition of Hilchos Sanhedrin. So, I would say, again, I would say that minimally we have a Shiloh on the Rambam and Hilchos Sanhedrin. I think it's very likely that the Rambam really meant Lo Signov in Hilchos Geneva. And of course, though, that just begs the question, which really, if we wanted to be audacious, we could ask on the Gemara itself, or at least the Vilna Shas edition of the Gemara itself. If you don't take the Gra's emendation, if you don't accept the Ramb, the Frankel in Hilchos Geneva, that's now three examples where the context is obviously monetary theft, and yet the pasuk that is repeatedly quoted as a source is from the Aseret HaDibros, again, despite the fact that we're all familiar with the Rashi on Chumash, which we just read, which is based on a Gemara, that Lo Signov is referring to kidnapping. Those are my questions so far. Now let me ask you a question. Is it just coincidental that the pasuk that's telling us about kidnapping is referred to as Lo Signov, or that we refer to that act of kidnapping as Gnevas Nefashos? Because in addition to Gneva or Lo Signov versus Lo Signovu, which is what we've been talking about until now, we know that there's another halacha in the Torah. That's called lo sigzol. What is the difference between gneva and gzela? Well, on a deeper level, that's going to be the basis of the whole shir. And on a simple level, we'll get to the Gemara, which most of us are familiar with, is the idea of public versus private, or secretive versus demonstrative. But there is such a thing called lo sigzol, so I'll ask you the question. Could there be such a thing as gzelas nefashos? Right? I could either, surreptitiously sneak into the guy's house, go into his bed, put a bag over his head, and sneak him out and kidnap him that way. That's parallel to the way Chazal explained what Geneva is. You sneak into the house at night. Or I could be in one of those unmarked vans from the A-team, and I'm driving by, and the guy's walking down the street, and I slide open the door, and as I'm driving by, I grab him and I throw him in, right in broad daylight. Zoom away. I would think that would be gzelas nefashos. So let me ask the question. Now, I don't think anyone's going to say that that's mutter. It's not a good thing. Is that a misa daraisa? Let's say even, naniach is daraisa. Let's say you do that. You work the guy a little bit, and then you sell him off as a slave. Is that a capital crime? Is that included, ad kedei kach, soup to nuts, in the pasuk, eitha v'yaseres debros, of lo signov? So this question was never addressed in the Gemara, and I don't think any of the Rishonim ever thought about it either, but it is a machlokas achronim. The Minchas Chinuch assumes, doesn't give an explanation, the Pasuk says lo signov, and we know in general we contrast Geneva and Gezela, so Mestamma, the contrast applies here too. There is no such thing, says the Minchas Chinuch, at least not on a capital crime level, of Gezelas Nefashos. I say, if you're going to do it, be a man, do it in broad daylight, and if you can get away with it, so we're not going to kill you even if we catch you afterwards. Says the Minchas Chinuch, it's not a capital crime.
Probably says the next question also with the concept of going to the Ishmael as well, without
also Lashon HaKneva. That's also worth noting. There is a Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi, maybe this is actually Takashi, considered a late Rishon, maybe he's one of these borderline personalities. Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi, so in his Chuvis, he also agrees with the Minchas Chinuch, and he adds a Svara based on the Pasuk in Devarim, which we mentioned before, that talks about how you have to sell the guy into slavery, where there the Pasuk refers to Gonev Nefesh Me'echov. So he says something that he gives a whole lumdus behind it, but really it sounds, it's somewhat, you can imagine it, very easy to understand. He says, the whole essence of the Isser is that you're Gonev, the person, from his Echov, from his family, from his friends. So if you sneak in, no one knows who's got him, we're waiting for the ransom call, we don't know who has him, so that's Gonev Me'echov, the family doesn't know where he is, that's the Isser. But if you go in broad daylight, and everyone sees you hold the guy up and say, get in the back of the van. So then, they may not be able to get him, but they know where he is. And that subtle difference, as Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi, is enough to take it down a notch. It's not what's considered in the Sefer Devarim, it would not be a capital crime. So who disagrees with all of this? Rav Yerucham Fischer Perlau, who I'm not sure how many Doros this goes back, but I believe he's somewhere on top of the family tree of the Novomitzker dynasty. Exact same last name, Perlau. Rucham Fischer Perlau did not live that long ago, early part of the 20th century. So he wrote an encyclopedic work, three very big fat books, all ostensibly to explicate the Sefer HaMitzvos of Rabbi Sadja Gaon. We know that many Rishonim wrote Sefer HaMitzvos. Sadja Gaon wrote a very, very cryptic poem. All 613 mitzvos in a few words. I didn't count how many words. Less than a few pages.
The first one?
I don't know. No, the Bahag, I think, might be before. I don't know. You have to look in the encyclopedia to see the chronology of the Gaonim. It was a Sefer Sosum forever. And Perlau wrote 700-800 pages, easy. Maybe over 1,000 pages. Ostensibly to explain the opinion of Rav Sadja Gaon, but once you discuss Rav Sadja Gaon, so then you throw in the whole kitchen sink as well. So he has a whole Torah on everything. It's an encyclopedic work, very, very valuable resource. Again, it's a little bit of effort getting through, but it's very, very valuable, certainly from the Rambam Kamos. So he quotes this, and he rejects all of it. He says, listen, who are we kidding? When it says, Gonev Nefesh Me'echav, what do we mean? We mean that each person, this is a little bit shtickle philosophical, and that's not unprecedented for him. He says, every person is Bershus Atmo. Everyone has autonomy. To take somebody and kidnap him so that he no longer has that own personal autonomy, that's the essence of the Isser. That's the essence of the Isser. Then he's no longer in control of himself. He's subject to your control. That's the essence of the Isser. And if that's
why you have to be Musama, though.
Huh?
Why you have to work
that no one has an answer to that.
I mean, I haven't. No, nothing.
So
I've
think s- that may contribute to that idea.
Oh, like you, oh, you see, this helps that. Oh, okay, good, good, good.
You made him work
for okay,
him.
Okay, good. And therefore, good, good, good. I'll take what you'll say and then build on it. And the therefore is, he says it makes no difference. My nafkamina, and you snuck into the house and you know took him away in the dead of night, or you grabbed him off the street. Either way, he's working. He's lost his autonomy. Says the Perlau, they should both be Nisar Daraisa. So I ask you again, aside from a little bit of a curiosity factor, but in real Svar Lamdas, what's this machlokus about? Again, in Bapashtus, if you look at Rav Perlau, when he quotes Rav Bital Ashkenazi, so they're having machlokus whether a person is really considered Bershus Atzmo or not. It's almost this quasi, here you go, Tommy, this kind of philosophical machlokus, so to speak. I have a few more. But the question is there something deeper going on? So basically we have three or four questions about this Geneva issue, or this kidnapping, if you will. Number one is we see that the Gemara seems to refer to Gonev Amanas Lamekat, even though the Gra changes the Girsa, but the question is how do you understand our Girsa, unless you just assume it's wrong, how do you understand our Girsa? Furthermore, you have the fact that the Rambam, in the standard editions of Hilchos Geneva, opening sentence, Torah says, don't steal money, Shenamar, Lo Signov, how could that be? That's the wrong pasuk, and therefore the Frankel edition changes it, but we are unconvinced, or at least unpersuaded, I should say, not convinced, by that change, considering the fact that the Rambam himself, Nechas Sanhedrin, also gives an example in a different context, but he's giving an example of monetary theft, and once again, the Nechas Sanhedrin, the Rambam quotes Lo Signov. That's two or three questions, depending on how I want to formulate it, all along the same lines. And then we have this further third or fourth question of how do you understand this machlokas? What's going on here? There could be Gneva versus Gzela of Nefashos. You know, it's hard to... It was hard to get my arms around that one. What's that all about? So I want to suggest that perhaps we can answer all of these questions if we take a little bit of a detour, but a related detour, staying on the same basic highway, and that is to understand the basic difference in relationship between Gneva and Gzela. I know that in some like English things, they have like very subtle English difference. And they translate Gneva and Gzela differently. Does anyone have a good... easy words to explain them? Robbery versus thievery or something like that. The nuance and the subtleties are lost on me. But before that, we could just look at a Gemara Baba Kama. You can translate it as you like, but the basic, which many of us are familiar with, all comes from the Gemara Baba Kama. And the Gemara Baba Kama is addressing the following question. There is a halacha that if you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar, so to speak, you get caught holding your Geneva, so not only are you going to have to pay back what you stole, you have to pay back double. It's called kefel, and in certain unique circumstances, you might even have to pay four or five times the amount what you stole. All of that is only a halacha in what's called Geneva, not in what's called Gezela. So the Gemara asks the question, very, very obvious, basic question. And this one I should be able to find. Yeah. Shalu Talmidav as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. If Neimah Hachmira Torah beGneva Yoser miGazlan, beGanav Yoser miGazlan. How can we have this extra stringency? Whereas with Gzela, if I catch you, so you pay back the principal, but there's no fine. Amr Lahan Zeh Hishvek Kvod Eved Kvod Kono. Zeh Lo Hishvek Kvod Eved Kvod Kono. Gneva is more serious because you've shown even less respect. The mashal is even less respect for God than you show for your fellow human. Why? Kavuyachal asa ayin shel pitekilu eino roe, ozumatekilu eino shamas, shenemar, hayim emakim, etc., etc., quoting the pasuk. In other words, as follows. What is the classic definition of a ganef? Someone who sneaks in at night and steals whatever it is. Somehow, again, without the knowledge of the owner. As opposed to a gazlan, is like what we call a highway robber or a bandit. You know, he walks in midday, guns blaring, give me your money, be quiet or I'll shoot. All right, the classic bank robber, if you will. Says the Gemara, which one's worse? A ganef is worse, because a gazlan is a terrible guy. But listen, he's not afraid of anybody. He's willing to do it in broad daylight. He's a tough guy. Okay, it's a bad thing. But the ganef is even worse, because you see, he's scared, he doesn't want anyone to know, which is why he sneaks around at night. Well, you forgot about God? The eye is always watching. But that's worse. He shows more fear for his neighbor, for the victim, than he does for God. At least the gazlan's not scared of anybody, not God and not the victim. The ganef is
Says the Gemara, that's why there's an extra penalty of kefil, or these fines, when it comes to geneva and not as opposed to gzela. And the truth is that the Rambam codifies both of this. If you look in the Hilchos Geneva in Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says ezuhu ganav. What's the definition of a ganav? Zelokech mamon adam beseser ve'ein habaylam yodim. The definition is that he does it secretively, and the owner, the victim, does not know, so to speak, what happened to him until after the fact. And then in Hilchos Gzela, an exactly parallel Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, ezuhu gozel zelokech mamon adam bechazaka. With force, you go over to the guy and you grab his watch. I want it. Give me your wallet. That's the classic definition of difference. What we would call, again, for shorthand, if you will, public versus private. One guy's a sneaky, one guy's in broad daylight. However, if that is the definition, then I have two questions. For now. We'll have more later. The Rambam in Hilchos Gzela, furthermore, in Perek Gimel, Halacha Tezvav, discusses somebody what's known as a Shoel Shalomidas. Right? This is teachers are often yelling about it in school, and kids are typically not listening, but it's good the teachers are yelling because the teachers are right. And that is, you see something of somebody's, and he's not around that, but you just want to borrow it. But you don't ask first. A Shoel is someone who borrows Shalomidas, you borrow without permission. So the Rambam paskins that a Shoel Shalomidas is a Gazlan. Not just that he did something wrong, he's a gazlan. So let me ask you a question. It's not my question, it's Rabbi Chanan's question in the Kovet Shurim. Why is he a gazlan? He should be a ganif. If the essence of a ganif is that you take something without the Bailim knowing, so Shaul Shlomi Das took something without the Bailim knowing. It's by definition. Right? If the Bailim knew, then he wouldn't be Shaul Shlomi Das. That's the whole essence of it. You borrowed without letting the guy know. So that should be wrong, but call it a ganif. How come? It's really Gemara. How come the Rambam calls that a gazlan? That's Rabbi Chanan's.
Because you don't pay back.
Why not?
But he doesn't do it.
That's the question.
He wasn't afraid of
it. He doesn't do it because he's afraid of the owner. He's doing it because the owner's not here.
Okay, perhaps. Rabbi Chanan focuses on the idea that the essence of a ganif is that the victim doesn't know, and here he doesn't know. He should be a ganif. How come the Gemara or the Rambam calls him a gazlan? Furthermore, the Rambam in the previous halacha, in halacha Yidala there, says that kofar b'pikadon is a gazlan. What's a kofar b'pikadon? If I lend you something, and now I want to get it back, and you go, what? Do I know you? I don't know what you're talking about. Now, again, we're not talking about how that will actually be solved. You know, maybe there's no way to prove it, and then you're out. You're tough luck. But the bottom line is, you know, in the heavenly court, what did I do wrong? So the Rambam says, I am a gazlan. So, many Achorim asked the exact same question. Here, you did something in a sneaky way. It's not like a bandit. After all, when you took it, you didn't do anything, you know, you weren't guns blaring. You were in a sneaky way. You were able to get it from him. How come you're considered a gazlan? Okay? Why is that any better?
Because here he denies Kesher Kol.
So?
But that's like a gazlan. He doesn't fear. He's going to go all the way and...
A gazlan would grab it out of his wallet, not make a whole sneaky thing to get it from him and then afterwards.
Yeah, but a sneaky thing is that he made it mix us.
It's a strategy. It's not a fear.
Okay.
But the difference between whether he's considered a gazlan or ganif is whether he's going to take cake.
Correct.
So the cake was only if you actually stole it. In neither of these cases did they actually stole it. So he has to put him in the getter of a...
What do you mean by actually stolen? What do you mean by that? He might be onto something. I'm just not sure.
I mean, he didn't actually go out with the forethought to steal something with the intention.
Okay, you're very much onto, I think, what I was about to say. And what you're just saying, though, just to be for the record, is different than all the other people are screaming at me. I like all of it. I'm just saying I like yours better. But it is different. As what the other people are saying, which I hear, I'm not dismissing it out of hand. They're focused, again, you're all focusing, and I'm not blaming you. It's a Gemara. On this idea of, you know, are you scared or not? You know, it's not clear to me that that's not a little bit too much of a darshan time of the crow or something like that, but it is a Gemara, so I'm not... But what Tommy's saying is something a little different, and what I'd like to do is to show my support for Tommy by quoting at least 5 or 6 achronim who agree with Tommy. So let's start. The father, the Avua de Hashmaita, in fact, is not Tommy, but he'll be more relevant for us.
And that is, I think, the first one who says anything like this is the Minchas Chinuch. But it is then well known in the name of Reb Chaim, and I'm going to give you four different sources for Reb Chaim on this idea. And then I'm going to tell you two or three other more recent achronim even, who all say the following idea based on Tami, which is that you have to go beyond that Gemara Baba Kama that we started with. It's not just the idea, again, the image, which again, it is a telling image of the guns blaring versus the sneaking. That is telling of something deeper. What's deeper, the essence of the Isser is, they all, more again, not in obviously the exact same language, but more or less they all say the following, is that the essence of Geneva, I'll start with the Minchas Chinuch and then I'll refine it. The essence of Geneva is the Mida Grua Shaba. This terrible, if you will, character trait that is expressed by your action, as opposed to Gezela, where the focus of the Isser is not so much on what you did or that Mida, but rather on the impact it had, the Chisaron Mamon, the loss that the other person entailed. And again, it's clear that if you do an act of Gezela, it's not the best thing to do. But that's not the Isser. The Isser is that you were Machaser Mamon Chaverecha. On the other hand, again, it's also true that Geneva, by definition, more or less, and more or less is important, but let's say in most cases, certainly, it involves a loss of money. But the loss of money isn't the machayev, according to this approach. The real Isser is, again, the Minchas Chinuch focus on what we call this terrible Mida, and again, that's, if I could make shalom between Tommy and the rest of you, so that's, again, this idea of not being Hishva Kvod Makom, Kvod Eved, or something like that, Kvod Kvod Avdo, but it gets further refined. Perhaps, again, maybe one of the more well-known ones is one of the great is that we have this from Reb Chaim in a number of Talmidim and also family members. So perhaps the most well-known is the Chazon Yecheskel, Dayan Yecheskel Abramsky, who wrote his Sefer on the Tosefta. I believe the Masorah is that he had no other Sefer when he was running away from the Nazis. All he had was a Tosefta, and he wrote this just unbelievable perish. It wasn't, you know, started off on the Tosefta, but had the Ushas all based on the Tosefta, because that's all he had, which is itself an incredible feat, assuming that is historically accurate. And he has, again, aside from his own Chidushim, he is one of our Baal Peh sources, so to speak, of Torah's Reb Chaim. And above Metzia, he has a whole piece based on Reb Chaim on this. Furthermore, again, with the other famous Talmidim, the Birka Shmur, Baruch Ber, says something very similar to this in the name of Reb Chaim. And perhaps, again, what I'm familiar with, the most thorough and detailed explication of this approach, specifically focusing on what he heard from his grandfather, was from Rav Soloveitchik. And this is quoted in two places. One is in the Rishiva Shurim, which many of you are familiar with, Amasecha Shavuos in Chelek Beis. And then, I don't know if it's been published yet as a Rishiva Shurim, but the same author of this, Rabbi Heshi Reichman. So a number of years ago, I was one of the co-editors of a Sefer Zikaron in the yeshiva called Ksodes Yosef. And we published, he wrote up, again, that was the first time he had published it, when the yeshiva learned Baba Kama, I'm not exactly sure what year this was, so they were supposed to be doing, I heard Rabbi Willie Koma, he was in the shir at the time, they're supposed to be doing the Gozels, the next two parakim in Baba Kama, but the Rabbi said, you can't do the Gozels until first do Merubah, which is about Geneva, and then before doing Merubah, he gave like a week or two a whole Hakdamah to Merubah, going through Seder HaRambam of Hilchos Geneva. So Rabbi Reichman wrote up, which we published, the Rav's Hakdamah to Parak Merubah. So between those two places, he has a lot of Torah from his grandfather. All, again, not the exact same language, but it's all mashlim that we know from the Chazon Yecheskel and from the Berakha Shmuel, all very much focusing on this idea. And again, this is where it's a little bit different, I prefer this, not focusing on the Mida as much, but, as I kind of alluded to already, the Geneva, the Isser, is the Maisa Lekicha. And this is only in the Rav's Torah, the other Talmidim don't say this, but the Rav focuses is it's the Maisa Lekicha Meirashus Bailim. He adds that. It won't be so important for the Nafkamina as we did in the Shir tonight. But in certain Nafkaminas, that becomes an important addition. The focus of the Isra is the Maisa, the action that you did, as opposed to Gzela. Obviously, at least in most cases, there would be a Maisa, but that's not the Isra. The Isra is not in the Maisa. It's on the impact of that Maisa, the Chisaron Mamon of the quote-unquote victim. So, getting back to this idea, so Reb Chaim apparently explained that this is the essence of Shol Shalom Idas. We said, why is Shol Shalom Idas a Gazlan? So he said, because there, since you're planning on giving it back, you're only borrowing it, That cannot be called a Maisa Geneva. In order for there to be an integrity, and integrity is a weird choice of words because we mean in a bad way, but in order to be a serious Maisa Geneva, an act of theft, the intent has to be one to keep it permanently. If you're intending to borrow it, but to return it, but even though you did it Shlomi Das, that's not a good thing. And even though it's only temporary, that is considered a little bit of a chisaron. And trust me, as someone who's walking through, I may have alluded to before, I've come into the Beis Medrash when I was younger, and sometimes in one of the volumes of my mini shas would be someone had borrowed it without telling me. And I would be looking for it for a week. So trust me, even though I eventually found it, that week or even that 10 hours was terrible. That chisaron, even if it's only temporary, is considered a violation of gzela. But it's not an Isser Geneva since you plan on returning it. Furthermore, he says that's also the pshat in Kofar B'Pikadon. And this is really exactly where Tommy hit the nail on the head. Kofar B'Pikadon, when I borrowed it, there was nothing wrong with it. That Maisa is totally beheter. To borrow something is wonderful. Nothing wrong with that. It's only subsequently when I don't give it back that I did something wrong. But then there's no Maisa. If there's no Maisa, it can't be Geneva. Because Geneva, the focus is on the act that I did. I have to do an act of thievery. As opposed to Gzela, now even by my inaction, by my denial, I'm being mechaser her mamon, and by mechaser her mamon, that is an isser of gzela. There's a lot of other examples. I'm gonna have a hard enough time getting through. I want to get through, but I'm not dismissing it. There's a lot of other things that are here to discuss. But let's first start off by giving you some more diukim in the Lashon HaRambam, which I think will prove the point. And then we'll give some other nafkaminas. We won't get to Tanya Tanasganov, but we'll get to some other nafkaminas. So first of all, some point out the following. If you look at the Rambam, just again, and it works out perfectly because there's a Geneva and Hilchos Gzela, and Mamash, the Rambam opens up both of these different sections in exactly parallel ways. But it's because of all the parallels that if you read closely and notice the differences, that the differences are really very significant and more telling. So the Rambam begins Hilchos Geneva with the following language. Listen carefully. Kol ha-gonev mamon. Anyone who steals money. Kol ha-gonev mamon, etc., 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 over alo sase. Okay? Now, what does the Rambam say in Hilchos Gezela? Kol ha-gozel eschavero, money, etc., etc. What is the difference between the two? In Hilchos Gezela, he focuses on something which he never mentions in Hilchos Geneva. Namely, the starts with a V, the victim. Kol ha-gozel eschavero, focuses on the victim. In Hilchos Geneva, he never mentions it. Again, it's easy, you could read this 100 times if you don't have this background. I would probably miss this completely. But in light of what we said, of course, it works beautifully, because Gezela, the focus is on the hefsed, it's on the victim, and the impact it has on him, as opposed to Geneva, where the focus is on the Maisa.
That's no proof, though, Gezela, it's armed robbery. In other words, you're
so the action is more confrontational.
Okay,
good. It's a good dechia. Okay, not bad, not bad. Okay, just so you should know, the one who I saw in print who made this was one of the Rosh Hashivas of Gateshead in his sefer called Rosh Hasharim, which some have suggested that the title of his svarim, Rosh Hasharim, comes from Gateshead. I don't know if that's true or not. Rav Blachman in KBY, when somebody told him that, said that might have been his intent, but then he gave a 10-minute paration why Gateshead actually comes from some English thing. It doesn't mean Gates, and therefore Sharim would be the wrong translation. I have no idea. It's a very nice yeshiva sefer from a very wonderful yeshiva. I can't remember if it's the father or the son who did Rosh Hasharim, but one of the famous Rosh Yeshiva. Oh, so we're going to try to get to. That's on the list, Joey. Furthermore, just continuing on, continuing the phrase, I started off with, Hilchos Geneva, Kol ha-gonev mamon, I stopped there, but now let's continue reading. Kol ha-gonev mamon, mishav apruta umala. Again, there's a shir, I'm not going to talk about why it's only a shav apruta, I had what to say on that, but I ain't the safer for that. Kol ha-gonev mamon, mishav apruta umala, pruta or higher, over alo sase, and again, every word of this, mamash harving over every word, because then there's shenemar lo signovu, but again, that's the Frankel emendation. If you look in other Rambams, there's lo signov, we've already discussed that. However, now, kol ha-gonev mamon mishava pruta umala, that's Hilchos Geneva. What does it say in Hilchos Gzela? Kol ha-gozel eschavero, shava pruta, over below sase, shenemar lo signov. So what is not there? Umala. So again, it would appear to me to be a very benign, inconsequential difference. However, two old friends, of Salvechik on the one hand, and of Hutner Zatzal on the other,
are both reputed to have explained that as a significant, subtle but significant difference along these lines. Namely, an amazing thing. They both said, again, it's a very theoretical thing, but in a certain sense, it's l'maisa. Since the focus of Hilchos Gneiva is the maisa, it doesn't matter how much I steal. Mishava prut ulamala. It doesn't matter how much I steal, it's still one maisa veira. I mean, if I go back 10 times, that's 10 different things. But it doesn't matter if I walk out with a small bag of money or a really, really, really big bag of, you know, untraceable bonds. You know, it's all the same thing. One prut ulamala, it's all, because the focus is the maisa. If I did one maisa, I did one aveira. And as Hilchos Gzela, the focus is on the hefsid mamon, then it's called Gozel Shava Pruta, and then they say, I'm leaving, for every Shava Pruta, it's another Isser. It's not one Isser Ulamala. It's every Shava Pruta is another Isser. Because every Shava Pruta is the victim, trust me, he knows the difference. You may have only had one theft in your life, but trust me, he knows the difference if you stole $10 from him or $1,000. And therefore, since the focus is on him, the impact, there's a bigger Isser. Now, I subsequently saw, there's a sefer called Binyan Ephraim, which was written by Rav Ephraim Bordiansky Zatzal. He was a machutin of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. His son, Rav Yitzchak Bordiansky, is one of Rav Shlomo Zalman's son-in-laws, also a very important Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim now. But Rav Ephraim Bordiansky, who I believe was an Altamir, but I don't know exactly so much about him, and his sefer Binyan Ephraim, so he has a back and forth there in one of the simanim with the Stipler. So he quoted from the Stipler, who, again, not aware of what I just said until now, but he discusses it, and he thinks that in a practical sense, no one would say that you're over multiple times every pruta. And if I had to guess, I would guess that too, personally. But he says, in whatever sense this means, in Gezela, the more you steal, the worse it is. As opposed to in Geneva, the more you steal, it's the same Aveira. Who the victim is? That I haven't seen anyone say. That I haven't seen. That might be too far. I mean, logically, it's an extension, but sometimes we extend too far. I'm not sure. Yes?
You see that even an ashram, which is every Kuta.
Okay, so maybe that's... Okay, maybe that's related. Okay, so these are examples just in the first opening phrase of Hilchos Gneiva and Hilchos Gzela, which, if you accept this premise to begin with, can very much be seen as echoed in even literally subtle nuances of the words. Let me give you a few nafkaminas as much as time allows that will further illustrate this. Could you be over on Gzela through your chatzer? So, for example, the Gemara Bava Metzia discusses, and the Rashi gives the, well, it's important, is really the Rashi. Rashi says, if an animal of your friend wanders into your chatzer, and then this is important, Rashi says, and you close the gate, you're over on Lo Sigzel. That's what Rashi seems to say. So comes along the Ktsos, and presumably arguing on everything I've said until now, but he builds a whole thing on Rashi, and he says, you see from Rashi, Rashi says, you close the gate, you need to do a Maisa. Even though there is such a thing called Kinyan Chatzer, which in certain cases does not need a Maisa, that alone would not violate Gzela. You see from Rashi, he gave the case, he went out of his way to say, you close the gate, that means you did a Maisa. Furthermore, there's a Tosfos that says, again, trying to explain the same case, but just giving it a little differently, where Hikisha B'Makal, you see your friend's cow, you really want it, so you smack it around, you with whatever that thing is called, that stick, you give him a smack on the tush, so that the cow or the horse goes wandering into your chatzer. Now you got him. So that's how Tosfos types up the case. You're only kone once it went into your chatzer. That's gzeilai de chatzer. So the Tosfos said, you see, he did a maisa. He hit the animal. Just to point out, parenthetically, that Rav Asher Weiss, not in his Sefer and Chumash, but in his Sefer and Maseches Baba Kama, has a little bit of a Torah to explain the subtle, very subtle difference between Rashi and Tosfos, so he has different types of Maisim there. But be that as it may, the Ksos doesn't make a differentiation. The Ksos says, you see from both of these, that you need a Maisa in order to be over, and Kinyan Chatzer alone would be insufficient. Yes? Okay.
Yeah, you might need a Maisa to be over, but if you're focusing on what is the
Okay, fair enough. But quoting this and then arguing on it in a very important way along our lines is the Imre Moshe. The Imre Moshe was Rav Moshe Sokolovsky, another Talmud of Reb Chaim, very, very big, important Rosh Hashiva in Slobodka. So the Imre Moshe says, I'll take half the Ksos. So the Ksos is right about Geneva. In order for you to be over Geneva, you need to do a Maisa. It's not enough if in the dead of night or something, the animal sneaks into your chatzer. That would not be Geneva, because you didn't do a Maisa. For Geneva, you're going to have to then close the gate. You're going to have to hit the animal. But for Gezela,
Gazela, you can be over without it. So, just to put it another way, if this happens, if the animal walks into your property and you don't return it, which is a problem, and you keep it, but you didn't do a maisa, so according to the Imrei Moshe, you would have to return the cow, but you would not be chayiv kefel. Because you were over gazela without doing a maisa, but you could not be over gneva. If you did a maisa, says the Imrei Moshe, then you could be over gneva. Again, none of this would make any sense unless it's built on the premise we started with. And again, it's important to point out, and I have other examples of this, I think the Ktsos disregards all of this. The Ktsos holds that everything needs a maisa. But that's not for now. I'll give you another example. I got to run, I'm sorry, just for time purposes. The Ktsos and Nesivos both assume that you cannot be over b'shogeg. There are the cases of a shliach gives something to you and you thought it was yours, but really it wasn't yours. Don't hold me to this, but it seems to me this might be analogous to taking the wrong raincoat from shul. B'shogeg, you took what you thought it was yours. Can you be over on Gnever Gzela b'shogeg? So the Ktsos and Nesivos hold that you cannot be. However, the Meiri, and more recently, the Marcheshes and the Kovet Shurim Rabbi Chanan, all say, again, without getting into the details of the proofs, they all assume that you can be over Gneva B'shogeg. L'chora, this very much relates, because if you focus on... I'm sorry. They both hold that you can be over Gzela B'shogeg. And it, of course, this fits in beautifully, because if the focus is on the Maisa, then if the Maisa was accidental, then you didn't do anything wrong. But if the whole focus is on the impact on the other person, as we see in many other areas of halacha, then even if you, what's the difference? The victim, as I say, the victim still feels, and we all, anyone who's missed, lost the raincoat and shul knows, right? Doesn't matter if it was an accident or not, you had to walk home in the rain without a raincoat. So that, they say, is a gzela. And the Marcheshes very poignantly, explicitly compares gzela to nezek. Again, that comparison only makes sense if the focus is on the chisaron for the victim. And as a final point, just to show you how extreme one could take it if you wanted, in the Sefer Zichron Shmuel, which is a collected writings of Rav Shmuel Ruzovsky, he has something from the Brisker Rav from Rav Elvel, where Rav Elvel says he thinks that you should be able to be over Gzela even ba'onis. Even if mamish was a complete outland accident. What's the difference? Even if you were ba'onis. But you could be over on Gzela, because again, the whole focus is on the victim and not on you. I have a few other examples, including a provocative one about Gneva and Gzela of a non-Jew. But alas, we're going to run out of time. I'll have to skip that one. I also had, for Joey, Gneva, I think it was Joey, for Gneva's Das, I'm also running out of that. I aim the safer for all of this. Let's now get back to kidnapping. We took this detour all to come back to kidnapping. I would like to suggest the following. Perhaps the intent of the Rambam, who quotes the pasuk of kidnapping, if you will, even in contexts of Gneva Samamon, and even we said the Vilna Shas standard nusach of the Gemara is also nusach, is all can be understood along these lines. Because obviously, if you think about Gneva Nefashos, kidnapping for a moment, obviously there is no Hefsid Mamon. Perhaps the quotation or the intermingling of Lo Signov and Lo Signovu, and the very fact that it's exactly written that way, is because, in a certain sense, kidnapping, if you will, is an expression of a certain common denominator that it has with Gnevas Mamon. Namely, what's the focus? The focus is on the Maisa that you did. Even though there's obviously no Hefsed Mamon, there's nothing to talk about it. That's non sequitur when it comes to kidnapping. But the point is, there's still a common denominator, because the focus is on what you did. And in a certain sense, Mali, the person, and Mali, his money. What I did was this terrible act of stealing. And therefore, again, it's not so crazy. And again, the Rambam, it's not coincidence, it's the Rambam of all people, who seems to be the firmest believer in this idea, would intermingle Lo Signov, which is the Pasuk in Sefer Dibros, which is about kidnapping, at least once, if not twice, when he's talking about Gnevas Mamun. And furthermore, I think that this understanding would also inform the Machlokas Achron about whether there can be the Gzelas Nefashos, or is it Dafka Gnevas Nefashos, but you can't have Gzelas Nefashos. The Machlokas between Rabbi Sal Ashkenazi and who was that on the other, and the Minchas Chinuch on the one hand, and the Rav Rucham Fishel parallel on the other hand, namely that if we assume that Gneva, the focus is the Maisa, as opposed to Gzela, so then it makes sense to go all the way. But if you assume that both, sorry, then it makes sense to make the distinction, because obviously you can't have Gzelas Nefashos because there's no Hefsed Mamon there. But if you assume that both Gneva and Gzela, in the monetary sense, assume a Maisa, so the very fact that we're saying that you can have a Gneva that applies to human beings to kidnapping obviously means that we're playing with different rules, and then if that's the case, why would you make a distinction? It's totally arbitrary, as Perlow seems to suggest. It's a very strong argument. Who cares if you did it in stealth or not? It's same, the guy is still kidnapped. And just to finally close with a little chumash, if you look at both the Ibn Ezra and the Sforno on our Parsha, on Lo Signov, so they both say that Lo Signov really does include the other forms of Geneva, namely Geneva's Das and Geneva's Nefashos. And again, it's not an ironclad raya, but certainly in light of everything else, that would work very beautifully, that even though fundamental on a technical level it's talking about kidnapping, but ultimately, and again, I didn't get to the Geneva's Das thing, but perhaps you can see where this would fit in, all of these things, even though there's very difference, in Geneva's Das, there's nothing tangible. Geneva's Nefashos, you're talking about a human being. Geneva's Money, you're talking about money. But if the focus is on the Maisa, then in a certain sense, all of that is just details. Because the essence, and that's why one pasuk in theory could refer to all three, says the Ibn Ezra and the Sforno, because the essence is what I did, the terrible mita gerua, so to speak, of my actions. And if that's the case, maybe it's only details in a certain sense what the stolen property is, if you will, as opposed to, again, if the focus is on the hefsid, then obviously it makes all the difference in the world what has been lost. A good Shabbos.